is taking that real-time data intelligence and it's just enhancing that in a way that looks at loyalty, that looks at friction-free experiences coming in and out of an event.
Hello and welcome to the Fobi Insider podcast. Today, I'm honored to welcome Jenna Carruth, Vice President of Startup Partnerships and Head of Comcast NBCU Sports Tech. Jenna, welcome and thank you for making time for us today. It's so great to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you, Nathan. A pleasure to be here with you.
Before we delve into the latest from the Comcast Accelerator program, let's take a moment to learn more about you and your remarkable journey in the realm of startup partnerships. Our audience is eager to gain insights from your wealth of experience and expertise. So without further ado, maybe just share some insights about your background and your career journey, and particularly how you began and eventually became associated with Comcast.
Love it. So I actually just recently had my 11-year anniversary with Comcast, but it's really only been the last 7 years that I was able to put sports at the center of that. I ran track and cross country for Baylor University in college. So it's always sports and teamwork and knowing how to pick yourself up from defeat has always been sort of in my character and DNA. But most of my career was really in high tech. So I was in Silicon Valley, started off in corporate communications, crisis PR, an amazing opportunity from a career perspective to be in the room with executives making big decisions and then figuring out how do we present that to the outside world. But eventually I wanted to know that I was impacting the bottom line. And transitioned into sales. I was carrying a $53 million quota at Symantec, traveling like crazy, business development. But I found my true love in terms of making a business impact and doing that through partnerships. And I think that's really at the core of what our Comcast NBC Sports Tech program is. It's really our opportunity to partner with startups that are really pushing us beyond the status quo when it comes to our sports products, new fan experiences. And we built this to be a very structured program. And I've learned along the way, it started off as a 3-month program. Now it's a 6-month program. We've now invested in 40 companies. And it's because it's all tailored to helping these founders build a sustainable business while solving, you know, problems that are worth solving for us. So our North Star is really that commercial deal at the end of the day. That is revenue coming in and then de-risks our initial investment.
Yeah, that's interesting. And to hear your past in the sport. So have you found that, was that a natural sort of progression going from being a sports person yourself into bringing tech into that? Was that sort of a natural progression in your career?
Yeah, I think the parallels there are immense. Just from a standpoint of, in sports, everything is measured because you're measuring to see, are you improving? Are you constantly sort of pushing yourself? Every time I stepped on the line, I wanted to make sure I had done everything, you know, in the gym and on the track to make sure that I was ready to show up for the team. So I think the characteristics of sports, having that plan, working a plan, measuring what matters, has kind of been a guiding aspect of my entire career. And I think we've done a good job in terms of how we measure the business impact of our sports tech program. It is very measured. We have a live deal tracker. We're constantly looking at who are the next sports partners to bring on board, because for founders, it's amazing to be able to work with Comcast and NBC and Sky. The playground that we have in terms of assets that we can touch, we own the Philadelphia Flyers, Wells Fargo Center, Peacock has the most live streaming sports. So that's an amazing playground of decision makers to work side by side with. But we really broke the mold, I think, and the real secret sauce of the program is we've brought in other sports partners, some of the biggest brands in the world. And what that does is it builds off of our media rights and our sponsorship investments. So at the end of the day, we have a very shared central point, which is at the end of the day, what is that fan experience, whether they're going in a stadium or in the living room?
Being the VP of Startup Partnerships, I mean, that sounds really intriguing. Maybe tell us a little bit of what you have to go about to look for, you know, these startup partnerships and what's involved and how you find a company where you think, you know, this tech can actually work in this area or we can help grow this tech and all of that.
Yeah, it's a great question because when you get your arms around sports, it's actually a much larger marketplace than you would imagine. So we have 8 strategic investment areas, and those areas matter differently to different parts of our business, as well as our external company or sports partners. So media and entertainment is obviously a very important one. Everything that happened within, you know, the pandemic, it completely changed how we produce things, much more remote. And all of that was built to last because it delivers immense cost savings and efficiency that allows us to bring more and more of our talent to cover more and more sports in general in a much more efficient way. Venue and event innovation is another really key piece for us because we own Wells Fargo Center. The Flyers play on the ice there, the 76ers as well. But then Comcast Business supports about 140 stadiums in the U.S. with connectivity and Wi-Fi and security. So that's an important part of the business. And trust me, like if you can figure out how your technology can work in one of our venues or for NASCAR, which is one of our partners in the consortium, each of those tracks is its own unique thing. The Daytona track alone, you can fit 17 football fields inside the track. It's insane. But same thing for PGA Tour, which is another important partner for us because we own the Golf Channel. So you're not going to have a 24/7 channel dedicated to sport and not have a deep partnership there. But if you think about it, they're using technology to capture every shot live. And that's over 150 acres. And this isn't like one ball on the court or on the field. This is, you know, thousands of balls by the end of a tournament. So that's another important area for us. Athlete and player performance and team and coach success are two other big areas. I'm excited that this cohort, we have two companies, and athlete and player performance kind of harkens back to my days as a runner of wanting to do anything and everything to make sure that I was recovering, I was getting the sleep that I needed to, that I was showing up, having done everything I could to perform that day. And that's very critical, each and every aspect going into the game that you see on the pitch, that matters. And it comes down to the people that are putting blood, sweat, and tears into creating the best product for fans. So those are a few. We also have, you know, sports betting and fantasy and esports, but I will say it definitely ebbs and flows because each year it is really taking the time to understand with each of our sports partners, what are the innovation needs and priorities and gaps in the business that are, you know, out ahead. We can observe how they're working with the companies in our portfolio, where they've done pilots, proof of concepts, what's translated into an ongoing commercial deal or relationship. But that's really just kind of giving us the current near term. We definitely use those innovation discovery sessions to understand what's got you worried around the corner.
Yeah. How have you seen sort of the growth of tech in sport, in professional sport in the last, like, what, 11 years being in your role? I mean, for me, I'm a big Premier League fan, as our viewers know. And I've seen just the tech sort of taking over the Premier League and football, and it happens everywhere, and analytics, data. So how have you seen it sort of explode in the past decade?
Yeah, I love that question. You see it and hear it more and more that sports is an asset class. Even JP Morgan just started an investment banking team solely dedicated to sports. And it's because you're investing in incredible IP and a huge entrenched fan base. I mean, it's one of those few things that brings us together. So that's why sports has always been just a deep core aspect of our business. And we're seeing more and more when we can get data that can enrich the storytelling aspect of it. I think Whoop is a great example. Rory McIlroy started, you know, wearing it and all over social media, like, what's that thing on his wrist? And he's telling his, you know, all the other buddies on the tournament with him. And next thing you know, it became this aha moment for NBC to say, you know, it'd be really interesting to know the heart rate of Rory McIlroy when there's millions of dollars on the line for this one putt. Because on the outside, they look like they're calm and cool and collected. It just gives you a better nuance for what they're accomplishing out there. It helps make it a little bit more relatable. One of the companies that was actually in our second cohort called Movers, this was a company. You know, skeletal tracking has always been something that the business has wanted from a commentary standpoint for some time, because it can really help you explain what just happened on the field or on the pitch. And we needed to find somebody early on putting a bunch of sensors on an athlete that just changes the natural dynamic of body movement. And in competition, it's usually forbidden anyway. So they use cameras that don't even have to be on the field of play, but can create that volumetric capture of data. So all that data coming in, they can look at, and they've partnered with our NBC sports production team for Olympics and looked at 6 different Olympic sports to look at, okay, how do we take this live data, translate that into a 3D biomechanically accurate replica of that athlete, and be able to see, put 2 gymnasts side by side on the beam and show the rotation and spin that has to happen because one is an inch taller, or the G-force on their body as they're tumbling across the floor. It's really those relatable awe moments that are driven through data. And the more and more you see people that are, picking their fantasy team or placing bets on sports, they want to use whatever data they can to feel like they're making the best picks at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, I mean, data is kind of taking over. Data is sort of ruling everything, all industries, and especially sports now. So how vital do you think it is for sports teams to embrace this revolution? Otherwise, they're going to be left behind. They're going to have to invest their monies into this technology.
Absolutely. I think, and it's interesting there, just because the data can be collected doesn't mean that it's meaningful. There's a great example, Sam Ebb, who is SVP of strategy and data analytics for Spectacor. He's always explains that, they will survey fans coming out of a Flyers game. And he's like, 9 times out of 10, he's like, guess what? Hot dogs were hot and warm and wonderful. Lines were short. Parking was a breeze if they won. or the data comes back saying, where are the healthy options? And that's always in January, right around the time that people have their New Year's resolutions. So he's like, you have to look at data and understand what is true behavioral data that you can follow the data to understand fan behavior, and what a fan maybe says but doesn't actually do at the end of the day, because guess what? People weren't actually buying the healthier food options when they put it on the menu. So it is a fine art. And I would say there's 2 different companies in our current cohort, because one of the areas was truly about unlocking data to drive more business value. And one of them was, you have all these data pieces and silos and all of that. How do you unify that in a way that can help you understand the journey of a fan and what they truly want and kind of anticipate what's next? And that's where I think Fobi is such a great addition to the cohort for us, because it's taking that real-time data intelligence and it's just enhancing that in a way that looks at loyalty, that looks at friction-free experiences coming in and out of an event. And what we like about it is that it's not just cookie cutter. It's really tailored to where the industry needs to go, because let's face it, sometimes the commentary watching in your living room is better than going to the event. So we want to create a little bit of that FOMO and then make it as easy and fun so that you have your first live event experience and you just get a taste of it and want more.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up Fobi, because I was going to obviously bring it in, and just being that sort of data collection and that real-time experience and that fan experience and the loyalty and being part of the pre-day, the current, what's happening on the pitch, on the court or wherever, the race, and then obviously tying in the post-game where you can bring everyone together and collecting that data so the teams can enhance the experience for the rest of the season or what have you. Was that something that you looked into and you were like, yeah, this can tie in, I can see, is that where your brain goes? Okay, we can see this tech that Fobi is providing, I can see this partner with these teams or this broadcast and that sort of process.
Yes, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, to get from the 1,500 companies that applied to the 10 that we chose, it is truly about being very, very clear about what is the business value? Do we have line of sight of how we're going to test and pilot the technology? And that there's enough partners that see value in it. And what's interesting here is if you look at just the NBC Sports Next, so our digital portfolio of sports assets, you have everything from Sports Engine, largest youth sports platform out there in the US. You also have, we support Golf Now and Golf Pass. So Golf Now is 11,000 different golf course properties where you can pick a tee time. We bring all kinds of value to them in terms of like helping them reduce their food and beverage. Because at the end of the day, people are out playing. Guess what? They're also watching. They're embracing that whole lifestyle of golf. Same thing with Golf Pass. That is a year-long membership, and it gives you tee time discounts. It gives you content to get better at your golf game. It gives you all of those things. But at the end of the day, those are all elements of loyalty, of having experiences that can unlock something at a tournament or an event. And we have loyalty programs. We've owned, you know, Universal Parks. I think we probably set the bar in terms of the guest experience there. But it's not easy tying it all together and taking the friction out of it. So we need those fresh ideas. We need the technology that isn't burdened by how things have been done in the past. And that's a real aspect of why this program is so valuable to us. We're running the business, but we have to keep innovating and iterating and improving it. And of a company of our size and scale, it's really hard to keep that sort of entrepreneurial, you know, reduce assumptions, test, experiment, iterate, improve. It's a muscle that has to be worked. And I think this program helps us do that by bringing in fresh thinking from outside.
Yeah, absolutely. And since the inception of the Sports Tech program in 2021, alumni have achieved a 132 pilots partnership and commercial deals with consortium partners. What's your perspective on this success? Like, why do you think this has worked? How have you created this cauldron of, you know, everything going in and then boom, we've got successful partnerships? And that obviously makes the investors of FOBI happy, and, you know, our customers knowing that, okay, we're going into something that is tried and true and is successful, and that's really exciting.
I think it starts with the fact that sports in general is so core to what we do. Live drives everything. That collective huge viewership around those moments that matter drives, you know, advertising, it drives our streaming strategy. Live anchors everything for us as a company. So we're not new to this, and we need to continue to invest in sports that build off of those media rights and sponsorship investments. So I think what has ended up happening, especially creating the Sports Tech Partner Consortium, is you have different sports teams, organizations that run their business differently, types of sports. So for a founder coming in, they're not necessarily anchoring their product development and their product roadmap to anchor to one specific sport that would hold them back. If you can make your technology work equally so for NASCAR as you can in the youth sports space, then you've got something that can really scale. And we find more and more, we're finding companies that maybe get their start within sports as a vertical because you've got millions of fans, it's a high-tech bar, it's great visibility. But then that gives them sort of the right to play in other important categories like hospitality or retail, which is another area, again, that like FOBI, the success that you've had in those are key verticals for our Comcast business team. Those are enterprise verticals that are where we see the next growth and evolution for the business. So it's really built off of sweat equity. You know, we want to work alongside really smart minds, test that technology and see what makes sense to, you know, license, integrate into the business, acquire, however that ends up looking. But it does, it challenges us to constantly be asking, do we need to build this, buy this, partner with this? You know, it's part of that, the rigor of maintaining a company that is not going to just stand still, but is going to push the boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you take that into account when you have these 1,500 applicants and you need to bring it down to 10, I do not envy that job. But how do you do it? What are you looking for? How do you actually pick, okay, no, maybe this tech isn't quite ready. This tech, yep, I see. What's your process?
Yes, we continually refine the process, especially as we get more and more applicants. 1,500 actually scares me because I'm afraid there's a gem in there that we missed. We have an incredible partner in Boomtown. They're our operating partner, and this is what they do. They create custom bespoke accelerator programs on behalf of companies like us. We set what the goals and objectives are, and we can continually refine that, and they co-invest with us. And they hire the best up when it comes to the deal flow team to go out there and aim and find the right startups based on the feedback that we're giving them and our sports partners are giving them. Same thing with developing the curriculum, like going from a, you know, typically it's a 3-month accelerator type timeframe, but we realize we've got to have companies that have existing products, some traction out there so we can really get our hands around it and test and pilot the technology. That means they're much further along, much more enterprise ready. And that also means they've got tons of existing clients. So a 6-month program gives them space to continue to run the business. And then we try to structure it as always being just-in-time learning. So you're getting deep, deep customer discovery of how is Peacock thinking about their business versus how is NBC Golf looking at their subscription and their digital business. So you can take those real-time learnings, and it's always geared towards business development. So helping to go from that first, and we call it the one-to-one relationship. So Phoebe coming in, you have two co-commercial advisors, right? So one's from our NBC Sports division, the other from Spectacor. And it's because you've got executives there that raise their hand and say, we're really interested. You know how we're going to test this. And so that first part is really getting that first proof of concept or pilot off the ground. And then the middle part is really sort of refining that and making sure that when we bring everyone back together, we have said, hey, this is what Phoebe does again. This is how we're piloting this technology with the NBC Sports team. And then your commercial advisor can stand up and say, hey, these are the business outcomes we're looking for. This is how we're going to measure success. And then that unlocks all these other proof of concepts and pilots. So now that we've gone through this 4 times, we have those decision makers who have invested and seen the return. So they know what they're looking for up front. So when we can get it to the top 50, say, of the 1,500, I kind of weigh in when it's a little bit closer to the top 100. So we have a whole team that does screenings and reviews, and we nurture those relationships because they're not always ready when they first apply. And then at the top 50, that's when all of our sports partners weigh in. And they have an opportunity, a 3-week window, to review and score the companies. They see everything from, you know, product demos to traction, revenue, who's invested in them thus far, use cases, case studies, success stories, all of those things. So at their pace, they get 3 weeks to review those companies. And that data, that qualitative and quantitative data, gets us down to the top 25. And then that's where we have the interview process, and it's 3 rigorous days. So there's a little method to the madness of like jamming it all into 3 days, because there are certain trends that we will hear from our sports partners of, hey, we have got to solve XYZ. And so we'll typically bring in, we'll find like 3 startups that really fit in that category. So there's a little bit of a bake-off in comparison in the top 25. So they go through the interview. We ask them all the tough questions. We make sure that that Zoom is filled with all the subject matter experts. It's happened before where on paper, everything looks amazing. And then when you get in the room, they haven't really solved for some of the tough technical or latency issues, or just have an assumption about the market they're going after that we live it and we know it's a little off the mark. So that'll be revealing sometimes. And then at the end of their pitch and all the questions, the team exits Zoom left. We rescore again, and then we have a healthy debate. That's probably one of my all-time favorite aspects of the program, because you get to hear, well, how is Premier League thinking about that versus our Spectacor team? And I think it's a lot of it is, oh, we have that same problem. I hadn't really thought about applying the technology in that way. So there's a lot of partner level due diligence at that point that really helps us narrow in on, and in this case, it was like the top 15. And it was really like making sure, because then we also need to think about the cohort itself, which companies can complement one another, build off of each other, make sure there aren't any sort of like conflicts of interest and things like that. So it's a fun puzzle towards the end.
Well, it definitely sounds like a puzzle. Yeah, I do not envy that process. Well, good for you and your team for kind of bringing that all together. So what excited you about Phoebe, I guess, that to say, okay, yeah, this data analytics wallet pass company is exactly what we need in this program this year?
Yeah, it's interesting. When we were first looking at Fobi, you see, you know, wallet, and you think, oh, it's a form of payment. You're in an interesting space, because what you're really doing is addressing taking friction out of things. And that can be loyalty. We have our Xfinity loyalty program. We have obviously Universal Parks. We have all of these experiential elements where I'm not sure we're doing the best job of making it a low friction experience. So we want those fresh ideas coming in. We want to be able to see, you know, what's a simple, seamless way. You talk about like pre-event, event, post-event. It's not just, you know, the amount of time between, you know, start whistle and the end whistle. You know, it's especially if you look at something like NASCAR, they have, you know, it's a weekend experience. There are people that are camping there. They're going for the Xfinity Cup Series, the NASCAR Cup race the next day. And to be able to help somebody fully understand all that they can take in that, it takes some fresh thinking and perspective. And that's, I think, the sweet spot where we see Fobi.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I guess that's where Fobi can bring it in with the fan experience, like you said, and the low friction. I love that term. Bring everything together, and easier for sports teams to have a relationship with fans and vice versa. And so I'm really excited. Well, thank you, Jenna, for your time and for your expertise. And this was a fascinating conversation to hear, just sort of, like I said, the evolution of tech in sports and how it's continually going to grow. So I really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, we're very, very excited about Fobi. Already seeing, just from our first kickoff, that first week is really a chance for all of the founders to really deeply learn and understand about our business. But we understand our business. We don't understand Fobi inside and out. So that becomes this great opportunity for you guys to connect the dots and say, you know, on the surface, you might not see this, but there's real value in these other areas of your business, and here's why. And again, that's that outside thinking that just gets us, it keeps the brain popping, you know, on what's possible, instead of being tied to a roadmap that maybe isn't moving at the right pace or developing the right things for fans. So we're excited to see what we can do with Fobi.
Yes, well, we're very excited, definitely, here in the team here in Vancouver. So thank you again, Jenna, and I'm sure we'll be in touch soon.
Sounds great. Thanks again. Appreciate the time, Nathan.